question, and Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing." And I'm sitting there thinking, now if I was Elisha, I know how I'd respond to that. I'm not asking it of you. He wasn't asking it of Elijah. He was asking it of God. And so he asked for that double portion, and God gave it to him. And if you study it out, Elisha performed twice as many miracles in the scripture than Elijah did. But there, he died and he was one short of double. One short of having twice as many miracles as Elijah. But he performed one when he was dead. You say, how on earth did he do that? Well, remember, all the miracles that Elisha performed or Elijah performed or anybody performed came from God. Okay? But God just had one more miracle, had power in the bones of Elisha to a point where they were letting down a dead man, and they saw the Midianites coming, and so they hurried up and they just slid the stone over at the tomb, and they let this man down in the tomb of Elisha. But the Bible says that as soon as this dead man touched the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, that'd be cool to watch. By the way, how would you like to be that dead man? All of a sudden you get alive and they're getting ready to slide that stone back over. Well, they'd hear me hollering real from a long ways off. You hear me? But I get to thinking, you know, that's a sweet picture of what took place when they buried my Jesus in that dead tomb. And then all of a sudden, on that third day, guess what? There was nothing but death in the tomb. And then there was nothing but life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So I like studying about Elisha. I could preach on him a whole lot more than I do. You probably might get tired of it, but I wouldn't. Amen. But this morning we're going to preach a little bit and study a little bit about a particular aspect of the life of Elisha. So let's stand in honor of the word of God, starting with verse 38 here in 2 Kings chapter 4. And said, Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour it out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. I want to preach a little bit today about there's death in the pot. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. I thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we thank you for these children that are coming. And Lord, that's what one of the things that gets this preacher excited. And I know it does you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. And let us hear from heaven. You've got a message for your people. Please, Lord, let your Holy Spirit preach. Get me out of the way and let your Holy Spirit preach with freedom and help us each to yield to him. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage here, and I see this, and I can just about imagine what it would be like. By the way, the term sons of the prophets, that may sound strange, but these were just preacher boys. We dealt with preacher boys all the time at the college when I was at Landmark Baptist College. And some of them you could count on. And then there were others. Amen. I remember one instance where one of the other professors came to me, and I was the dean of students. I was the disciplinarian, and I told them, he said, I can't get these two boys to clean up their dorm room. I said, okay, I'll take care of it. So I sent him a memo, and I said, okay, if they get 100 demerits, they're expelled. Just that, no discussion, just go ahead and pack them, we'll get you home. I told him, I said, I'm going to come by on Monday, and I'm going to inspect your room. And you each get 10 demerits if the room's not clean on Monday. I'm going to come back on Tuesday. And if the room's not clean on Tuesday, you each get 20 demerits. Then I told him, I said, I'm going to come back on Wednesday. And if it's not clean by Wednesday, you're going to get 40 demerits. I said, this will continue until the room is either clean or empty. Guess what? They didn't even get the 10 demerits. But there are times when you have to deal with preacher boys, and they've got so much potential. That's what Elisha was doing. If you study it out and look a little farther, he deals with the preacher boys, and they're building a college. The Bible says that it was too straight for them, too narrow for them. They had outgrown their dorms. But what we're studying here, Elisha is, they're in a dealing with a famine. And I can imagine if I was there with preacher boys, and what they loved those ramen noodles. I mean, they ate a lot of them. They were cheap, and they had some substance anyway. But that's what I can imagine. That if you had 100 preacher boys there and they brought what they had, that's what they were doing. They were putting everything in one pot to cook it all together so everybody'd have something. I can't imagine what it tastes like. This one over here brought his two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and put it in there. And this one here put a piece of chocolate cake in there. And I don't know what it might taste like, but the truth is it reminds me of a youth activity that they did in Leavenworth, Kansas at church in there. We brought our kids to the church and for the youth rally, and they had an activity for the boys, and they said whoever could eat a Happy Meal the quickest. Now, that's not much of a challenge for a teenage boy. But what they did is they took the hamburger, the fries, and the Coke and dumped them into a blender. Yeah. So I kind of imagine this pot was kind of a potluck like that, a mixture of all kinds of stuff. But what I want to focus on is this one guy. He goes out and he goes into the field, and he doesn't have much, maybe he doesn't have anything to contribute. So he goes out and tries to find something to help. And he finds this wild gourd. This wild vine that has gourds on it. And so he gathers up a lapful of gourds, and then he slices them up and puts them in the pot, not realizing they were poison. And there was death in the pot. What little bit he took, I don't know how big the pot was, But what he took, he poisoned the whole thing. I want to remind you something. There are things in this world that will poison what you do. For instance, one sin in your life or mine will keep us from going to heaven. That's why it's so important to trust Jesus.
Amen.
And one of the things that we need to keep in mind is don't think of big sins and little sins, because every sin is hideous in God's eyes.
That's right.
Now, some of them God calls an abomination. But every sin required Jesus to die.
That's right.
But I want you to think about some things, and I will bring out some points here about death in the pot. And I will bring out about three or four items. Number one, there's death in the pot if you add works to salvation.
Amen.
There are a lot of people out there in this world that believe their baptism is going to help them get to heaven, or that their good works are going to help them to get to heaven, or their church membership is going to help them to get to heaven. Believe me, if you add works to salvation, you've put death in the pot. You've corrupted the pot. It cannot, will not work if you're trusting anything or anybody other than wholly trusting the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
It's not going to work. I think about what this world stands for. There's so many. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. I don't know, she's probably 20-ish or so. Maybe closer to 30, I don't know. But the truth is, she didn't understand that the hijackers of those planes on 9/11 were, what they did was, that was their way of getting to heaven. That's what they believed. And I want you to know, we as Christians have to understand that there's death in the pot.
That's right.
If you mess up God's plan.
Right.
The only way you can get to heaven, the only way I can get to heaven, the only way anyone's going to get to heaven is by doing it God's way. And Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. But if you add works to salvation, there's death in the pot. Number two, if you add words to the Scriptures, there's death in the pot. I cannot trust any other Bible other than my King James Bible.
Amen.
I know the scoundrels behind some of these. I know some of them might have been sincere people that were duped. But I can show you enough corruption, and believe me, all it takes is one place. How many of those gourds put in that big old pot would have corrupted it? Just one. If you change one word in my King James Bible, you've corrupted it.
That's right.
See, there's death in the pot if you add words to God's book. But people are doing it all the time. By the way, there are a lot of people that believe the Bible. They say, oh, I believe in that King James Bible. Well, that's fine. But I'm gonna go to Medland. How close are you living by it? Because if we really believe it, we're going to work real hard to follow it. That's the key. If you really believe the building was on fire, guess what? I can tell how much you believe by how quick you get out the door. Right? And if you really believe the Bible, you're going to work real hard to follow what God said. So number one, there's death in the pot if you add works to salvation. Number two, there's death in the pot if you add words to the Scriptures. Number three, there's death in the pot if you add the world to your music.
Amen.
That's right.
We're not going to have the world's music.
All right.
What if, and get me
look at where I'm coming from. If there was nothing wrong with allowing worldly music, worldly types of music in the church, do you think God's going to tell me when I get to heaven, Brian, you were too strict on that music? You really think he's going to say that? If he does, I don't think it's going to matter much. But what about those other preachers that let the worldly music come in? You think God might say to them, if they're really saved, you were too lenient. You weren't strict enough about what you allowed in the church, in my house. See, it's not my house. It's not your house. It's His house.
Amen.
And our job is to make sure that we keep it just as close to what He wants. And that's the way He blesses.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. That's why we've got this building. Because God has honored us for our stand on the King James Bible and standing right on trying to win people to Christ. Amen. And standing right on the music.
Amen.
And I'm not that smart, but I'm smart enough to want His blessings.
Amen.
And I kind of like them. I mean, why would you want His curses? By the way, you ever noticed how all these things go in some of these other churches? They slip on their music. Then next thing you know, they slip on the Bible they use.
Right.
Then they slip on their standards. Then they'll paint the walls black and turn it into a rock concert. They'll stop soul winning. It doesn't necessarily work in that order, but just about every time, all of those, one leads to another.
Sir.
And I want to tell you, that in itself proves to me where we ought to stand. We were talking about a while ago in Sunday school, in Matthew chapter 9, we were talking about where Jesus came in, and he was talking, man had called and asked him to come in to raise his daughter from the dead. And Jesus said, he came in and said, the girl's not dead, she's just sleeping. And they started laughing at him. Why? Because they didn't have faith. And what did he do? He put them out. Why? He knew there was death in that pot. He had to get those unbelievers out of there so he could work.
Amen.
There's death in the pot. And I want you to understand that we've got to draw some lines as a church, as Christians. We've got to keep our testimony clean. We've got to do things God's way. If we don't, I want to tell you, let's just take the church sign off and say we're going to be the Elks Club or Kiwanis or whatever. And I don't have anything against them. I think they ought to be a church, but but the truth is, there's death in the pot if you don't do it God's way.
Amen.
And I want you to remember something. Proverbs 16:25. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, one end, are the ways of death. End, one end, are the ways of death. There's one end for everybody if they don't do it God's way. There are a lot of people going to go there, going to end up in hell, but there's a lot of ways to get there. Evolution, atheism, Buddhism, Islam, doesn't matter. Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, it doesn't matter. They're all going to end up the same place if they don't have Jesus.
Right.
And number four, I'm going to leave it with this. There's death in the pot when you add works to salvation. when you add words to God's book, when you add the world to your music. Number four, when you add wolves to your membership. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher?
One of the Baptists, I have trouble taking this sign down. We've had a discussion lately, and it's not as accommodating. But I have trouble pulling this down because this is what we stand for.
Amen.
And I want people, when they come in, to see who we are.
Amen.
This, the word Baptist up there is not negotiable. We're not going to take it off the sign.
Amen.
It stands for a body of doctrines that we stand for.
Amen.
We're not going to compromise on it. And one of those doctrines is a regenerated church membership. That means you can't join this church without giving a good testimony of being saved. And then you have to be willing to submit to baptism. If you accept anybody into church, and there are a lot of people that do it, the Catholic churches, some of the Protestant churches, they accept people as soon as they get baptized, which they call baptism sprinkling. We were at Brother Matthew, I see a smile on his face because he knows what's coming. We had, when we were at college, they worked out a time there where we were actually working out a purchase of the Presbyterian church. And so for a while they owned the church and we just used it during the week for the college chapel. And then they were rebuilding a new sanctuary, a new church, but theirs wasn't done as soon as they thought. So then we owned it and we let them use it on Sundays. But one of the things that they had, and we had to put up with the first year, is they had a bird bath. Now I know that's what it looked like, okay? Why would you put a bird bath inside? I don't know, but we won't have one here, amen?
Amen.
But they had a cover over it and it slides over and they sprinkle the babies. That's what they call baptism. That's what they call baptism. And by the way, as soon as that baby is week or two old or whenever they baptize them, by the way, the baby doesn't have anything to say about it. They sprinkle that baby and that baby becomes a church member. Now, is that baby saved? Absolutely not. What happens if you give that child that grows up into that church and they have voting rights in the church, become a deacon or whatever, Sunday school teacher, what are they going to teach? Definitely not going to teach anybody how to get saved. They might teach them how to get sprinkled. A lot of what goes on in these churches, and you shake your head. I remember I was teaching at a class at the college, and I read about a church in, I guess it was Pennsylvania or up that way somewhere. And they were having, I don't know whether it's Episcopalian or what kind of church it was. Thank God it wasn't a Baptist church, but they were having a vacation Bible school. That sounds good, except the theme on their vacation Bible school was Harry Potter. Harry Potter theme for vacation Bible school at a church. I'm serious. I've still got the article at the house somewhere. But I'm sitting there thinking, how could people make that decision? Because you've got wolves in the membership. You say, wolves, why do you call them wolves? Because they're actually not saved. And there's a lot of those Protestants and Catholics and all, they grow up and they become pastors, preachers, priests, whatever. And what happened? They're not saved. They became a church member as soon as they were sprinkled as a baby. But the bottom line is,
You've got to have the Holy Spirit inside of you to guide you, to trust the Scriptures, to understand the Scriptures, to work God's plan. This world, it's a crazy place. But one place there's going to be a refuge. Bible Baptist Church is going to be a refuge. Because we're not going to let somebody that finds a wild gourd just slice it up and put it in the church. Or slice it up and change the plan of salvation. Or slice it up and cut up the Bible. The most important thing for us as Christians is to realize there's a world out there, and just about everything you see going on in our country today is simply because these people are lost. And if they're lost, they don't understand that God's in charge, and they're going to answer to Him one day. He wrote a rule book. And like I said, I'm not that smart, but I am smart enough to follow the rule book. Because I know the one that made us. And I know His rule book is absolutely, infallibly perfect.
Amen.
But I think about, how do you think that guy felt when he put those wild gourds in the pot? They were about to string him up, I bet. But Elisha straightened it out. You know, it's the man of God's place to keep the death out of the pot. Growing up, I never imagined being a preacher. But now that God made me one, I'm going to do my dead level best to keep death out of the pot. And like we said to start with, if you add works to salvation, there's death in the pot. None of us are good enough. I'm not good enough to get to heaven without Jesus. Nobody is. And if you're trusting anything or anybody else, if you're trusting your baptism, if you're trusting your church membership, if you're trusting your good works or anything else or anybody else, there's death in the pot. And that death in that pot is going to lead you to a place called the lake of fire. And the most important thing is, why are we working hard to reach them kids? Because I'm not going to be here probably another 30, 40 years. I'm 60, soon be 64, and not planning on being around till Methuselah age. But there's got to be somebody to stand up. Somebody to take the bull by the horns and do things God's way. And when I'm gone, there's got to be somebody to take over. There's enough churches going the wrong way. We can't start enough churches to replace them. But we're sure going to try. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? We're planning on, and I mentioned it the other night, I want to start another couple churches out of this church. You say, where? I'm not going to tell you where. But the truth is, God's got to lead us anyway. But the most important thing is, we as Christians have got to see the danger of putting death in the pot. I'm glad Elisha knew what to do to handle the death in the pot. God gives the man of God wisdom on how to deal with situations. But it's a whole lot better if you don't slice up the gourd, right? Don't put it in the pot. We're going to try to do it that way, amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. We thank You for giving us an opportunity to know about the death in the pot. And Lord, we ask You to teach us on how to keep the death out of the pot. Lord, this world, it doesn't have any wisdom outside of your book. And those that don't believe your book don't have any wisdom at all. And Lord, we just ask you to help us not to be influenced by this crazy, crazy, hell-bound world. But every time we see things, bad decisions, people going the wrong way, laughing at us like they did with Jesus, Lord, help us to remember they're lost people. The only thing wrong with them is they need the Jesus that we have. Lord, move in the invitation and help us. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, get them saved. Help them to make that decision. Maybe there's some here that want to join the church. Maybe there's some that need to be baptized. They've been saved but haven't been baptized properly. Whatever the decision, Lord, help them to make that decision. For it's in that lovely, that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.